Dr. Lori Grover is specialized in clinical vision impairment and rehabilitation care for over 20 years. She is an associate professor and director at the Center for Translational Health Science, Department of Health Solutions at Arizona State University. She is an attending in the Department of Neuro Rehabilitation at the Barrow Neurological Institute. I apologize, Lori had to write this for me to update her bio. So she will be speaking about clinical decision support systems in eye and vision care.
Thank you. Thanks. So this is very interactive, so shoot it out if you have a question. Kind of a fun time of the day. So I want to share a little bit with you about, if I can get this to work. Okay.
You can use the arrows also.
Oh, okay. So it's back. Okay, here we go. So I guess it's buttons. It's programmed for buttons. Okay, I have no disclosures. So what is clinical decision support? And I would tell you the take home is clinical decision support is an extremely important mechanism by which we can translate evidence into care. If that's the take home you have, then I'm happy with that. It's basically IT systems that are designed to help decisions be made better and to enhance health and healthcare. They are used not only at patient-centered care, at the point of care, but they're also used as interventions that help us to link outcomes and patterns of health determinants at the population level. And clinical decision support forms really the core of health informatics research, and it's embedded in pretty much all information systems. So whether you know it or not, if you're working with an EHR, you're working with clinical decision support. It might be an alert. It might be a mechanism that makes you stop. It might be an algorithm for drug dosage. It could be a myriad of different things. But I'll give you a little background on, looking at the wrong one. So CDS, which is how I'll refer to it moving forward, is really an area that's being touted to help manage chronic disease and preventive or wellness care. There are certain taxonomies of clinical decision support systems, but there's no universally accepted taxonomy. So we're kind of in the realm of what is low vision. There's no universally accepted definition. We're in a similar situation with clinical decision support. So we really don't know how we're using this. And one of my objectives for this study was to get at least some baseline evidence on what we're doing. So this is important because the little yellow piece on my model, and some of you that were in the disability talk saw this, the clinical decision support piece is critical at the initial point of examination, decision making, especially shared decision making, getting the right evidence for you to be able to help make recommendations for the individuals that you're treating and help make your decision process effective. So that's why it's important. So the methodology I used was a systematic review of the literature, took a look at any key CDS systems that were utilized in eye and vision care, and again, established a foundation to move forward. And I also wanted to see if we had a similar literature base of functionalities from clinical decision support as we see in other fields. So in cancer care and some of our other big healthcare areas, CDS is pretty well defined, like making decisions about breast cancer treatment options, prostate cancer. There's a lot going on. I wanted to see if we had any kind of parity with regards to eye care. So I used a bunch of data sources, tons of electronic databases, but including the literature bases, I also went to what borders on more gray, but yet important areas like the summaries from American Medical Informatics Association and some of the State Informatics Association meetings. So I looked at abstracts. I looked at anything from the professional organizations. I looked at agencies like ARC, and I looked at the Internet. And you'll see in a minute why we had to have such a large look-see at the databases. So I focused on the fundamental relationship of CDS and a clinical-based electronic health record. And just as a quick reminder, EHR differs from an EPR because the EHR is the legally representative record for a patient. This is all informatics stuff, so I won't go into it. But the key is that if you look at how IOM has suggested we bridge the quality chasm gap, it's helping incorporate shared decision making into our clinical care routines. So I utilized a taxonomy by Perrott and Metzger, and I adapted it for eye and vision care. And they basically outline four key functions of electronic clinical decision support: an administrative function, a way to manage clinical complexity and details, cost control, or decision support. And there's a description on the other column where you can kind of get an idea of what would represent those four areas. So for lack of time, I won't go into it, but we can always talk about it later. And I did a specific search strategy with certain keywords and free terms, and I ended up with 537 total items for this that particular search time frame. Sorry, I keep going to the arrows and not these buttons, like my methodology here. I didn't put any restriction on the type of CDS or article, as long as it had a health information technology and electronic intervention and it was identified as being specific to eye and or vision care. I rejected at the title if it wasn't related to the subject area, et cetera. Removing all of the duplicates, we ended up with 32 articles. And so I categorized the evidence into four functional areas: those areas of administrative support, clinical complexity, cost control, and decision support. And because of the format of the data, we took not only journal publications and published abstracts, but conference presentations and proceedings from professional meetings. So you're getting a sense that there's just not a whole lot out there. We are not looking at thousands and thousands of pieces of data to choose from yet. So I want to share with you the results. This was actually the first structured review that we can find in this area. And because we had such a small number, I summarized the results to include all formats, not just high-quality, evidence-based, peer-reviewed articles. And I've got some tables I can kind of give you a summary of what we have. So when we broke it down by functional category, we ended up with an N of 32. And we had six administrative CDS, which was evidence including the use of tablets or PDAs that help to support point of data collection, what type of HIT language was used for coding, so really heavily in the informatics side, monitoring clinical data in large administrative databases like Vista. There were none found in clinical complexity management. There was one in cost control, and that was basically using it within CPOE system, which is where a lot of error reduction work is done with, and this was specific to pharmaceuticals, specifically ocular pharmaceuticals. And then the vast majority of CDS was found in decision support, and not surprisingly, telehealth, telemedicine-related tools, and it was dominated by diabetes. And so we really, if you think about where clinical decision support is most broadly used, it's in the realm of diabetes and chronic care-related functions. So this is just a quick summary of the six administrative topics, and I won't go into the details there, but and then here's the cost control topic. I'm sorry, it should be an N of 1, not of 2. And then the clinical decision support, and it's hard to read these, so I apologize, but I just wanted to throw that up in case we had any questions down the road. But in conclusion, I want to share with you that we did see a trend in the literature. I saw a trend in the literature that CDS applications have increased in eye and vision care. Telemedicine, which really is a component of telehealth, but telemedicine was how we see most of this referenced in the literature, was the main representation area, including that for diabetes-related population management, and mostly for diagnostic and management tools. And that was where we saw the most common usage. Adopting EHR language, health information technology schema, and other administrative types of clinical decision support are emerging. So there was a lot of information from clinical meeting proceedings that talked about here's something we can do. It just hasn't been translated yet into use. There were also some suggestions that there were cost control pieces on the horizon to come out that can be incorporated into broader systems. They're just not there yet. And unfortunately, there was no evidence found for managing clinical complexity, which is, as we all know, a very key part of managing chronic diseases because we usually have many comorbidities and many hands inside the pot. So there's a big potential for expansion, and there's some of the examples I wanted to give you that we saw kind of waiting in the wings include algorithms, treatment threshold estimations for things like how do we treat ocular hypertension, so incorporating tighter controlled evidence and evidence from RCTs that's emerging to help us with treatment, encoding and exchanging metadata, so those big data issues that we talked about as a concern for the section also applies to how we do patient-centered care. This is a big one for me, access to eye care-specific evidence. There are actually some other areas where clinical guidelines, evidence, solid evidence-based clinical guidelines are being routinely incorporated. The VA has started to do this and some other areas have done it, but we don't have any evidence that this is yet occurring in eye and vision care. And the other area, which is always important, are decision trees and cost-effectiveness modeling. Those types of opportunities are out there waiting for us to build those in. GIS implementation, especially for managing patient compliance, self-help, you know, routine care outside of the clinical setting, and then stakeholder telesupport. So in addition to the telehealth component from the clinical care, we also have the opportunity to bring groups of people together, stakeholders, people who share commonalities with diseases or conditions, and do virtual support and other types of grouping. So that's another area where it's waiting in the wings. Now, in eye care, the other thing that we have special needs for, and this was also identified in a lot of the literature, was that we require very specific clinical decision support applications that have not yet fully emerged. So one is special patient populations. Very few applications out there specifically for, say, visual impairment. We may have a lot for the disease management side, but maybe not for the therapy side or the impairment management side. We do a lot of hand-drawn diagrams, we do a lot of free text annotation, and that's just a real HIT issue. It's how do we incorporate that for, communicating to other folks on the team. Capturing visual acuity, which some people will argue is an important vital sign, which most healthcare providers outside of eye care will not necessarily think of. However, I think one of our allies is BMI. BMI is getting a real push now to be recognized as a vital sign. So if we can help to get certain key component measurements, quantitative measurements of our folks, we could tie that in. And then getting tie-in with all of the ancillary diagnostic equipment we use, like OCT and perimetry, to kind of feed in and help with our decision-making. So there's a few references that I have, and I just want to thank you. So thank you for being a great audience.